We want to come to the Word of God this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 3, please. As I said a few weeks ago, we're starting a series on the whys. Why head covering? Why elders? Why deacons? Why membership? Why the Lord's table? We would probably do why baptism, but we've covered it recently. And so we may take a couple of weeks on why elders. We'll see how we get on this morning. But do bear with us, as there's some questions that perhaps you have, and it'll be good to answer them from the Word of God this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we're reading from verse number 1, please. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behaviour, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. If a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and snare of the devil. And we do trust that God will bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts this morning. Like every other organization in the world, the church needs leaders in order for the local church to function as God designed it and God desires it. When it comes to leadership within a Baptist church, we believe there are two offices clearly taught in the Word of God. There is the office of an elder, and there is the office of a deacon. And we believe those are the only two offices that are set out in the Word of God. Those who occupy these offices collectively are known as the office bearers. This is a difficult subject for me to preach, because I'm really preaching to myself and to my fellow elders, but also to those who will potentially be elders in the future. Also, for each and every one, if there comes a case where we want to appoint a new elder, this is what you look for in your elders. That's what we find in the Word of God. It's not a beauty contest. It's a contest of what we find, and not really a contest, but it's an examination of what we find in the Word of God. I believe these scriptures, and I don't know where we'll get to this morning, but they have a bearing on all of us. And indeed, when we see how what's expected of either elders or deacons, then I think that's a challenge to each and every one of us, how we should live our lives as well. If a church won't function properly, then that affects all of us. And that affects you this morning, because this is an important subject, not just for the elders in the assembly here, but for each and every one of us. And as I say, perhaps one day you will be faced with this responsibility. Our determining counsel has to be the Word of God. God hasn't left us to our own devices. He plainly and clearly has set out here the qualifications of an elder, and indeed some other scriptures that we look at this morning. I want to begin with a few queries this morning. Not necessarily things that are found in these verses, but other scriptures that we'll turn to, just to teach you this morning where we are coming from here in this particular church. I'm going to ask the first question: what is a bishop? You'll see in verse number 1, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth of a good work. Now, if you go out into the street and you talk about bishops, it'll immediately cause people to think of perhaps the Anglican Church, perhaps the Catholic Church, and they'll think of a bishop as being someone who's above others. There's bishops and then elders and then committees, and some have deacons and other things like that. And so that would cause you to think of someone perhaps in religious garb and someone who carries authority within the church. The word bishop actually means to oversee. That's what the word means. It was used in the original of the foreman on a construction gang, one who would oversee the work. If you can think of a building site, and I'm not talking about something I really know about, but bear with me this morning. The overseer will inspect. The overseer will instruct. He will give necessary encouragement. He will encourage those who are doing well and perhaps have to rebuke those who are not doing so well. He will want them to follow a plan. There'll be a set of plans, and those that are working on the building site, as the overseer looks, he'll want them to follow that plan to the last letter. He doesn't want to build the Leaning Tower of Pisa. He wants the building to be something that will stand, and something indeed that will stand the test of time. He'll want it to be a proper structure. And you can see where that word would fit in to the local church this morning. When you think of the overseer, he'll watch the workers who are reliable and dependable. He'll make sure they're encouraged and perhaps promoted where possible. Others who perhaps are lazy, undependable, those that you can't count on, he'll try and encourage them and try to get them built up and as best as he possibly can. So it gives you a little picture of an overseer this morning. He will inspect. He will instruct. He will encourage. He'll work to a plan. And of course, when we bring it into the church, the plan we're working to is the Word of God. Ideally, the best man that can lead in a construction site is a man who has worked his way up. Therefore, you're looking at someone who has earned respect of the workers. And again, it's the same within the assembly. Someone who knows exactly what they're talking about. The word bishop itself, if you went into the Greek, is episkopa, where you think of the word epistle or epistol government. And so it just simply means one who watches over others, one who is an overseer. You'll see in this church, we don't distinguish between a bishop and an elder. We don't see two different offices. As I say, in Anglican churches, there are bishops and there are archbishops above the ordinary elders within the church. That's called episcopal leadership. And they take the term bishop overseer to mean it's a standalone office. And so you have the elders and then you have the bishops above them and then you're into archbishops. And these bishops will look after churches within a particular area and they will appoint bishops in different areas, and they see themselves as a higher structure indeed. I don't find that in the Word of God, but I'm trying to teach you what we see in the Word of God, and I'll show it to you in a few moment times. When you move into the Roman Catholic Church, there is the belief from them that the bishops are part of the apostolic succession. They have come down from the apostles, because you read about the apostles choosing elders, and therefore they see themselves as following on from the apostles. But of course, we know that the apostles were part of the foundation of the church. And once the local churches were established, the elders continued to function on their own. And indeed, eventually, all the apostles died out. So we don't believe in that apostolic succession that you find in the Church of Rome. Our belief is that a local church should be autonomous. In other words, we don't answer to anyone else, only the Lord. There's no hierarchical structure. There's no one sitting out there somewhere that we must give an account to. There is no moderator. There is no archbishop. We simply are accountable in this church to the Lord and to the Lord alone. And I believe that's what the Bible teaches. And so, just get an idea of the word bishop. It's someone who oversees. Then we want to ask the question, what is an elder? The word elder is the Greek word presbyteron. You'll recognize it from the word presbyterian. The word presbos really means an old man. That's what it means. And so when we think of an elder, we're thinking of someone who, not necessarily old, but someone who is spiritually mature. Someone who has been saved for quite some time and possesses the qualities of an elder. I want you to come over to Titus chapter 1 for a moment. Just again, look at verse number 5, because we've been looking at bishops. And Paul says to Titus, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I have appointed thee. And I say the word elder simply means an older man, a man of seniority. In Greek society, it was the practice for older men or experienced men who served in society to work their way into the position of ambassadors or advisors. Those who had ability earned through experience. And that's really what's contained in the word elder. Sometimes the word is just simply used of an older person. You'll remember the story of the prodigal son. You'll remember that he had an elder brother. That's the same word. It's also used in 1 Timothy 5 verse 1 where it says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. And again, there's a lesson there for us to respect the older men. Not just elders, but to respect the older men. And I think it's good for young people to respect the elderly. Sometimes that indeed is lost in the society in which we live. When we leave the secular realm, we come into the spiritual realm. As I said, it doesn't mean the elders have to be old men, but they have to be mature men. It has absolutely nothing to do with age, and everything to do with the quality of the man's spiritual character and the ability of his spiritual competence. They're to be men of dignity who, because of their spirituality, will be respected when they speak. In other words, being an elder doesn't mean as an old person, but it means someone who is mature. You can have someone who's young and very mature. You can have someone who's old and sadly immature. So you have a bishop, you have an elder, then what about a pastor? Ephesians 4 verse 11, you'll read about the pastor. And again, I'll tie this all together in a moment and hopefully it will make sense. Paul, writing in Ephesians 4 verse 11, said, he gives some apostles and some prophets, that's the foundation of the church, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, or many people link those together, pastor-teacher. And so you have the gifts of the church, or pastor-teachers and evangelists. Now, the idea behind the word pastor is the word shepherd, to shepherd the flock. We have examples in the Old Testament of bad shepherds. Ezekiel 34 verse 3, ye eat the fat and ye clothe you with wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. Goes on to say in verse 8, as I live, said the Lord, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for the flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. And the idea, again, is of someone who shepherds the flock. Now, come over to Acts chapter 20, just to show you something. I know this is not normally what we do on a Sunday morning. Normally this would be a Wednesday night, but I think there are questions that people have been asking, and let's have a look for some of the answers. Remember, we're looking at bishops, we're looking at elders, and we're looking at pastors. Acts 20 verse 17. And here Paul, he calls for the elders of Ephesus. He's leaving them. And very often when a pastor leaves a church, he comes to Acts chapter 20. Acts 20 verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And so Paul wants to meet the elders of the church. Look down to verse 28. And here's some of his instruction to the elders. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Do you see the word overseers? That's the word bishop. And so when Paul talked about the elders and the bishops, he's talking about the same thing. See how he uses it interchangeably? Look again at verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God. You see the word feed? That's the word shepherd. That's the word pastor. And so when Paul is talking about bishops and pastors and elders, he talks about them interchangeably. In other words, there is not a bishop, an elder, and a pastor. We're all the same. But there's only one office. And so we could, elders in this church could be called bishops. They could be called elders. And then there are some that could be called pastors as well. Now, a pastor is slightly different. Here's what it says in 1 Timothy 5 verse 17. Just the same office. But it's obvious in the days of Paul, there were also those who specifically spent time in the Word of God. 1 Timothy 5 verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honour, especially they who labour in the Word and doctrine. And so, the pastor is different in the sense that he labours in the word of doctrine and in the full-time capacity preaches the word of God. But when it comes to the government of a church, the pastor, the bishop, the elders, all the same. I'm not above my fellow elders. We're all the same. And all have the same authority within the local church. Now, I want to show you this again. Titus chapter 1. I know I'm flicking you about a wee bit this morning, but it's good sometimes to have this. It's lovely to hear the page has been turned in the house of the Lord. Titus chapter 1 verse 5. We were at this earlier. And let me again, I want to show you this on a few occasions. And Paul says to Titus, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou should set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I have appointed thee. And see the word elders in verse 5. Now, look down to verse 7. Here, he opens up a little bit of the qualifications of the elders. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not giving to filthy lucre. We'll get to the qualifications perhaps on another occasion. But you can see the word elder and the word bishop are used interchangeably. The idea of a bishop here and an elder here, and a deacon here, that's not what we find in the Word of God. There's no separate office. The bishops, the elders, the pastors, all the same office. Let me give you one more example. Come to 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm sort of letting you do the work this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're just answering some queries to begin with. 1 Peter 5 verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And here Peter is addressing the elders. Look down to verse 2. Feed. See the word feed? That's the word pastor. So again you have an elder. You have the pastor. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. See the word oversight? That's the word bishop. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. So I'm just showing you again, you have the bishop, you have the elder, you have the pastor, and according to the Apostle Paul, all of these were all the same office. And so you can use the word elder, bishop, and pastor interchangeably. Let me summarize it this morning. An elder speaks of their spiritual maturity. And I think that would be obvious, wouldn't it? The word bishop indicates their spiritual work. They oversee what's going on in the assembly. The elders are to rule within the assembly. Let the elders, 1 Timothy 5 verse 17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. A church must be organized. Things have to be done decently in order. And the elders are to rule in the assembly. Hebrews 13 verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And so you want your elders to overlook you and the care for you, and you want to obey them because they have your best interests at heart. And that's really what the Hebrew writer is talking about. Again, if you're still in 1 Peter 5, look at verse number 3. An elder is not to be a lord or a dictator. There shouldn't be a wee Hitler in any church. I remember a pastor's wife saying to me, every church has their own wee Hitler. We have no Hitlers here, praise the Lord. But here you can see verse 3. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Elders are responsible for what is taught in the church. The spiritual decisions rest with the elders, and it's God's heritage. We will give an account to the Lord. And so elders are accountable to God. Titus 1 verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. If you're still in 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, this is the Lord Jesus, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And you see, we must be faithful to the word of God. We have to please God and not please man, because we have to give an account to God. That means at times we will say things that are unpopular. We will preach things that are unpalatable. But our guiding factor has to be that we are accountable to the chief shepherd himself. It can be a difficult and thankless task. Always easy to criticize from the outside. When you think of an elder, we understand again that there's no biblical precedent for hierarchy. There is a precedent for diversity, but no hierarchy. The minister or pastor of any church is not the main man. And I think sometimes we need to get that into our head. He's not any different than the other elders. It's not special, it's not separate. He's just an elder, he's a bishop, whatever word you wish to use. And so, I hope that hasn't bored you this morning, but I wanted you to see that a bishop, an elder, and a pastor has all got the same office. Next question, what about woman elders? Many of the churches now have ladies who are reverends, who take up the office of minister, some even the title pastor. Others hold the office of an elder. What saith the scripture? Well, I believe that elders should only be men. And I think it would be difficult to make a biblical case for female elders. Paul tells Timothy and Titus, and I think we've read perhaps both of these verses this morning, that they must be the husband of one wife. And you really have to do some spiritual gymnastics to get a lady who's the husband of one wife. It's just not possible. When it talks about elders, it always talks about male, never female. And so this idea of women elders, women pastors, women ministers, that's contrary to what the Word of God teaches. I don't know where I left you, but come over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. One of the qualifications for an elder, and we'll get to the qualifications eventually, is that they have to be apt to teach. And so they must be able to teach the Word of God. Not necessarily in the pulpit. But if you look back in 1 Timothy 2 verse 12, look what Paul says about the woman here. And he's not being anti-woman. And I'm not anti-woman because I married one, so I like women. 1 Timothy 2 verse 12, Paul said this, "But I suffer not a woman to teach," and catch this bit, "nor to usurp authority over the man." And so a woman should not usurp authority over the man. Therefore, to put a lady in an office in the church, the office of elder, minister, pastor, whatever term you want to use, I believe is contrary to the Word of God. And so I believe it should be men and men only who occupy the office of elder, bishop, or pastor, whatever word you want to use. Now, some will come to Galatians 3 verse 28. And let me read it to you and say, look, this blows that out of the water. "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus." And I say amen to that. When it comes to salvation, there's absolutely no difference. Men are not better saved than women, and vice versa. Ladies, of course, are as much saved as men are. This is nothing to do with men being better than women. What Paul is talking about in Galatians 3 is simply that when someone's saved, it's not a saved Jew or a saved Greek. He's saved, or she's saved. There's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ. This is talking about our equality in salvation. Not saved Jews, saved Gentiles, but saved men and saved women. It's all about our relationship with Christ. I believe that there are clear roles, and I say this takes us back to what we covered last week. The headship, where man is given that role within the local assembly. Now, let me say this. That's not to say that there are ladies who would make good elders. That's not even to say that the ladies wouldn't be capable of leading, perhaps in some times better than the men. But we have to go with the Word of God. And that's what God has set out. And so it's not being misogynistic. It's not being anything like that. It's simply trying to follow the Word of God this morning. That's some queries for you this morning. Let me say something about the quantity this morning. It's interesting, every time you read about elders, it's always in the plurality. Titus 1 verse 5. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders. Plural. Philippians 1 verse 1 is a good verse, because Philippians 1 verse 1 talks about a local church. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are in Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. And so you had a plurality of elders. And so I think Scripture would teach a plurality of elders, not just one elder. Now, I know sometimes that can happen, and I know that elders can pass away and we could be left with one elder, and I understand that, but I'm talking about what is the ideal and the biblical situation, that there should be a plurality of elders. Now, that makes good sense. It guards against error. It means if one elder tends to go in the wrong direction, the other ones can pull him into line. It also stops one man receiving all the glory, or one man being preeminent within the assembly. There was a man called Diotrephes who loved to have the preeminence. When there's a plurality of elders, then that guards against one having a domination, dominating the place, and it also means he's not getting any undue glory as well. Not only that, but it guards against an unbalanced ministry. Elders have different gifts, and therefore when you bring them together, you're hoping that these gifts will combine and produce what is good for the local assembly. Again, Acts 14, verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, whom they believed. Again, 1 Timothy 5, verse 17. Let the elders that rule well. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. If you're still in 1 Peter 5, again, the elders which are among you, I exhort. You can see, always elders, elders, elders. Now, let me give you an exception. A reading this morning, it talks about a bishop. Singular. But again, it's talking about the qualifications for that particular office. On another occasion, 3 John, and there's some argument over who John's talking to, it talks about an elder. This was a specific letter written to one particular person. But when you read throughout the church epistles, and when you read the qualifications, you'll discover that there's always a plurality of elders. And that's really what you need. You want a plurality of elders, and you want a united elders. Because when there's no unity among those who are at the top, then that will cause trouble and filter down into the church as well. It's essential that the eldership remain united and work together to draw the church together. Now, I'm getting to the interesting bit, but you'll probably not get it the next week. We see some queries. You see the quantity. When we come back to 1 Timothy chapter 3, we're not thinking so much of the quantity. We're thinking more of the quality of elders. And that's really what Paul sets out in 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm just going to cover a little bit here this morning, and we'll get to it next week. And I know that was a bit heavy, perhaps a bit laborious this morning, but there are young believers here, and perhaps you're wondering, what's an elder, what's a pastor, what's a bishop, how do things happen here in this particular church here in Rough Island? The question sometimes is asked is, how should elders be appointed? In Acts 20, verse 28, it talks about the Holy Ghost appointed elders in Ephesus. In the early days, the apostles appointed the elders. Titus was given that responsibility. We've read it a number of times in Titus 1 verse 5. And of course, it's not clearly set out for us how they should be appointed. But remember, the elders are responsible for what's taught in this pulpit. Therefore, for my position, and I believe the elders themselves will look out among the church for men who are gifted, men who have a real interest in the local church, those who meet the qualifications, and I think it's up to the existing elders to speak to a potential elder and let them consider the matter, and then if he is happy, I was going to say if he or she, I was about to contradict myself there, if he is happy and willing to let his name go forward, then we would bring it to the membership. Now, the eldership are bringing it to the membership for your approval. It's not really for you to say yes or no. It's for you to support the existing oversight. I know we have this idea that a church should be a democracy. A church should be a theocracy. And again, the elders rule in the assembly and they bring a recommendation. It would be expected the church would support that. But of course, you have the opportunity and perhaps you're aware of something that they're not aware of at all. But I'm just showing you that it's not how they are elected is not the important thing. It really is the fact that they meet the qualifications that we'll find here next week in the Word of God. There's a few things that are missing from the qualifications of an elder or a pastor. One is the word perfect. Don't look for perfection, because you'll be disappointed. The second thing is popularity. Sometimes elders and pastors especially have to do things and it doesn't make them very popular. And so you won't find the word popular in the qualifications either. You'll not find the word perfect, you'll not find the word popular, and you'll not find the word pleasing. We're not here to please the people. We're here to please God. And I believe if we do what we're supposed to do, and God is pleased, it'll be a blessing to you. And this will be a place where you can grow spiritually and enjoy the fellowship with God's people and enjoy the teaching of the Word of God. Now I'm going to finish it there this morning because I don't want to go into the various qualifications. We'll look at that next week in the will of the Lord. And again, hopefully I haven't drained you too dry this morning. Let's just bow in a moment's prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for thy word. We thank you for the instructions and the clear teaching that we get. And Lord, we thank you for the elders in this assembly. Thank you, Lord, for many of these men have been here for years. And Lord, they have proved themselves to be faithful men. And Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you, Lord, for the direction they've taken this church in. And for the support and encouragement they are. And the blessing they've been to many people. And so, Lord, we look to thee for the days that lie ahead. Lord, we need thy help in every decision and every step we take. We pray, Lord, in all things that we won't be men pleasers. But, Lord, we'll please the Lord because it's the chief shepherd to whom we will give an account. Bless thy word to our hearts, for it's in our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn that asks a question, and of course it's not just for elders this morning. Is your life a channel of blessing? 691. And we'll stand and sing this together. Thank you. Enoch will be standing at the door as you leave. He's handing out invitations to the fellowship hour, just in case you wonder what is that. So it's just to let those who would be able to go know what's on in the forthcoming months. Heavenly Father, do bless those who must leave us now. And Lord, as you wait on around this table, be with Graham as he opens the word. And Lord, give us a special time as we get back to the cross. For it's in and through our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen.